The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Right here, I prove one more time, and I'm gonna prove how many times I need to do.
Alessandro, the Cannonball, Fantasia!
Got a knockdown. Mays retreats.
I want to say I'm here. This is my place. I'm not gonna leave this cage till I'm champion.
Hoggy, the Hammer.
Tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt Serra, old man Jim Norton in my shitty glasses. Hamdi Abdelwahab will be here. Heavyweight, tremendous win on Saturday night, and of course Alexander Pantoja, both making their first appearances. And we also have Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, returning. He was here, I don't remember when he was on, but it was a while ago. UFC fan. What, buddy?
He's a comic book fan also.
I don't remember. I know you always bond with comic book fans. I honestly don't remember, Matt.
I do, and you think it's silly and childish.
I get it.
You know what's really not sick and childish is
what?
The Boys. You ever start to watch The Boys on Amazon Prime? Jimmy.
Everyone tells me it's good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty fucking good, you know?
But, well, I guess what do you think, Matt? Should we start by congratulating the champ?
The Lioness.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, maybe when you're kicking ass for that long,
you
need to just get the best way to get recharged is taking a little bit of a beat, and then you come back in. You're like, you know what? I need to get motivated. So she got motivated, I guess, and there you go. It was a shutout, Jimmy.
But I thought Amanda absolutely won, clearly dominating. But Pena was so active off her back, always trying to throw up submissions. 50-43 seemed unfair, and 50-44 seemed almost unfair. Maybe 1-10 round, but I thought 50-45 was the fair score across the board.
She lost all the rounds. I mean, it was one time where, you know, I mean, what I really like about Juliana Pena is that she doesn't get like deterred. Like she's right. Always, she's yes. Still got her eye on the goal, and she lost a round, she lost two, she lost three. She wasn't getting depressed on the stool. She was still wanted to try to
right.
And she was. What round was that? Did she almost get the arm lock? Was that the fourth round?
It was third or fourth. It might have been the fourth. Do you mean the arm lock or the Kimura?
No, it wasn't a Kimura.
She did have her almost under in a Kimura in one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but Amanda's good at defending a lot of stuff. But the arm lock, I thought, was pretty close. Straight arm lock when she got it off her back.
That might have been the fourth. Was she up against the cage?
Yeah,
and that was why she could? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was very – it was definitely a
She's very dangerous off her back. And I wanted Amanda to win because I like Amanda so much. And I was nerve-wracking. Do you think that she went to the floor? I mean, the strategy of fighting Southpaw was really, really smart. And then just throwing that right hook when she came in. But do you think that Amanda just wanted to beat her on the floor, like to prove that she could? Or why do you think she kind of changed strategy halfway through the fight and went down to the floor and stayed there?
I think it was very smart, because the one, even though I liked the difference, because she knew, like in the first fight, how like Juliana would come in like almost like charging, like behind her punches. So like when she tried to like counter her right away, and if it didn't land, Juliana's landing like, if not the first two, the three or four on her, and she keeps like punching her way in. So what I really liked, the correction I really, really liked, and Juliana did not like, is now she was like backing up with her, keeping the distance when she charged. Instead of just firing back right away, she'd back up enough and then throw that fucking right hook. It was a right hook, right?
Yeah. She was fighting left. Yeah, she was just dropping that right hook. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And then just catching her like on the head. And she didn't, she never seen it coming,
right?
Because she's so intent on trying to catch Amanda with the punches coming in, that she's punching like wah, 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 and then she just back up, boom. It was almost like pot shotting, like,
yeah,
but you know, and I really like it a lot. And she landed like three times, I believe.
And she dropped her,
yes,
twice, maybe three times. Didn't she drop it twice in one round? I want to say once in the first, twice in the second. I might be wrong about that.
But what's so smart? I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't know if
you're talking good. No.
How she fought was, she knows that Julian is so tough, which she showed him there from getting cut up and keep going, that she didn't want to, she knows that she, I mean, there's a possibility, a big possibility that Amanda could try to knock her out and get tired again.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? So she mixes in well-timed, she has a jiu-jitsu black belt. She mixes in well-timed takedowns, kind of like she did with Valentina when she fought Valentina that second time. Second time. Anyway, but she mixes in the takedowns, and she was doing great on top. She's not, I mean, besides that one arm lock, yeah. She's, when you do jiu-jitsu long enough, you're pretty aware of the submissions. So I thought it was brilliant. And I thought that, one person did the homework because she needed to, and Juliana thought she might just be able to run it back the same way. You know, I didn't know she was prepared for these corrections.
Did you think that 50-44 or 50-43 was fair? I mean, Amanda was so dominant. I just thought that Juliana was such a threat of her back that she at least earned a 50-45, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, you'd have to show me which round she's getting a 10-8 in. I mean,
right.
There's some rounds where I wouldn't do that. I knew I wasn't going. Was that a 10-8 or 10-9? Really? I was doing a lot. All right. Well, she lost three rounds. Now she has to get a stop.
Yeah. She has to get a stop.
So I maybe have to go back and really see, all right, that could be a justified 10-8. Cause that's always kind of opinionated with the 10-8s, you know, at least from what I feel. So like, I don't know. Like listen, it was a shutout. She lost every round. I don't know about the 10-8 round. I'd have to go back, but hey, man, it wasn't like it was a close fight, you know?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Right. Yeah. So two and one person gave two 10-8s to Amanda, the 43.
Yeah. Hey, man. But know what's nice though? Even though it was like a shutout, we haven't seen the last of Juliana Pena. I want to see who on next. I want to see who she fights next. And, I think she's a win away from getting right back in there, because she's shown.
Yeah.
Amanda puts people away. I mean, Juliana shows that she's going to be a threat. Unless maybe she'll make corrections after this, you know?
And I'm annoyed because I had her originally picked by decision, and then I changed it to first round stoppage. Stupid asshole I am.
Yeah, but you're talking about water under the bridge.
I know. There's nothing I can do about it. Also, Sergey Pavlovich, that stoppage against Derek Lewis, I think Derek would have been stopped there because he was on his hands and knees having Pavlovich was standing over him, kind of just swinging left and right. But that was still a little Marigliotta got it wrong there.
You know, Dan's usually, I don't know, does he usually spray? I mean, he's usually not. I mean, I kind of felt for him because if you look at the way he dropped, you know, it could be like, oh, he's done, but he really wasn't. So nobody's a mind reader.
Right.
You could say, all right, Big Dan fucked up. You could say that. Or you could say, well, I don't know, maybe Derek fucked up because he's in that position. Like, so it's like the ref is there to protect you if he thinks you're not going to. So you did drop.
Yeah.
There is times where Derek did drop face first in the past and he was out. You know what I mean? Look at some of his fights. So I kind of felt for Dan when that probably most likely it was. It, in hindsight, it's the wrong call. But you can see how would have made that.
But I think Derek was in big, big trouble there anyway. Like, because he was on, again, on all fours almost. At just, you know, he was teeing off, standing up. There was nothing going to stop that onslaught.
Hey, this is running low. And this kind of isn't. So look at this.
For those of you that can't see, Matt is doing drugs.
No.
Oh, I apologize. Stand corrected.
Anyway, Jimmy, what else? Let's talk some MMA.
All right. How about that liver kick that stopped Kai Kara France in the third? They both look great. Moreno looked great and he looked great. But that kick, I guess that just shuts everything down. I can't remember ever having been hit in the liver, but they say it just shuts you down.
This is what I like. And this is what I want to find. Maybe I'll, you know what? You know what? I don't know if it's going to say because it said the words underneath it. I don't know if you're going to hear it. The corner work of James Krause. Now, James Krause, I believe, this is the first camp he's working with Brandon Moreno. I'm not positive of that, but you guys can double check that. But, you know, now you got Brandon Moreno, and I was a little concerned about him changing camps because he's looking so good.
Right.
Even though he lost that last one, which I thought he won.
Yeah, very close fight.
Very close fight. He went to go with James Krause. I like James Krause a lot. He's an active fighter that's a leader. He's a guy that's involved with a lot of things. I went to his fight promotion. It was a huge thing when we did Looking for a Fight, and he like sold out it almost looked like a little, it was one of the most well-run small shows.
Right.
Didn't even feel like a small show. It felt like a big show. It was in a big stadium. But James Krause, you know, he runs his team and he has his fighters and he knows his fighters. So when he's getting with Brandon Moreno, I wanted to see how that would go. And if you look between the rounds before he got what was it, liver kick?
Rick, yes. Liver kick, yeah.
Loading rib, where did he get liver?
Liver.
But,
it looked like the liver, yeah.
But you hear James Krause saying, you know, end with the hook. What about the kick? End with the kick. What about ending with the kick? So he fucking told them between rounds. And that it's not a coincidence.
Right.
He had this planned. He told them what about, he first mentioned the left hook and then he goes, end with the kick sometimes. And next round, then you see right next round, boom, he ended with the kick, ended the fight.
Yeah.
This could be the start of something special with Brandon Moreno, with, you know, with James Krause.
Yeah.
As his coach.
What did you think about, and Kai Kara France looked good up until that point as well. He was landing some really good shots. What did you think about Davison Figueiredo coming into the cage? It was a little awkward. It just seemed like there was going to be a confrontation, and Moreno's such a nice guy. And I think underneath it, Davison Figueiredo's a nice guy. So they're both just like being nice. Like they couldn't fake being assholes. They're just nice. They're both nice.
Normally, that's probably a PR nightmare. That's probably that's not going to sell a lot of tickets. But because their fights are such barn burners, I don't really feel it. You know, their fights are awesome. I mean, they have a very exciting fights when they fight, and I don't think anybody's gonna be upset about seeing that matchup again. Brandon's not gonna be a shit talker. It's just not gonna happen.
Right,
it's not
who he is.
He kicks ass and plays with his Legos. He's not gonna be that guy.
That's right.
To sit there and start talking some shit. It was getting. I was hoping it wasn't gonna be like a language thing, because when he was saying all the nice stuff, Brandon, I was hoping Figueiredo wasn't gonna start like fucking being like, I didn't know how he'd react. And he's being a nice guy also. So it wasn't cringy, but it was slightly awkward. But having said that, I'm looking forward to them fighting.
It felt unnecessary because when he walked in, then Davison's just standing there and Brandon was talking about something he wanted to say. And it just felt like Davison is not a big enough asshole to interrupt him. So he just let him have this moment. You know, and I would see them fight a fourth time. We have Alexander Pantoja's coming on today. He's calling for a title fight, a very fast stoppage of Alex Perez. Although I mean, Alexander was ranked number 4, I believe, and Perez was number 6. So does Askarov get a shot first? I don't know how they do that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Alexandra was looking
amazing.
I mean, yeah. I mean that, you can't ask for a – how long was the fight? A minute?
91 seconds, and I think he was on his back in 30 seconds, I think.
But he walked him down right away.
Yeah, walked him right down.
There was no feeling out process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you ever have anybody come at you like that, like almost like they're not afraid? Because if you're Alex Perez, you have to feel like this guy has no respect for my punching power. He's walking right in without a – did you ever have anybody come at you with that energy?
Well, usually they wouldn't because they didn't want me getting them down because of my grappling, you know. Right. So they usually play more like a Dean Thomas to trying to get away type of thing. But like, BJ Penn came at me, fucking Ivan Medjavol came at me, though I got him right down right away. BJ came at me, I snatched up his leg, got into the cage, you know, like he's hard to get down, BJ.
Yeah.
But you know, it makes it easier to get that clinch though when they're aggressive.
Right. Oh, but, it does. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Then trying to stalk them down. You know,
so you prefer someone to be aggressive.
Oh, I'm there to fight, not to dance, Jimmy. I'm there to fight. I don't put those running shoes on me, bro. I like that, man. I like meeting right in the middle of it. That's what I respect about Frank Trigg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he met me in the middle.
He did.
He did some punches.
Yeah.
It's not my fault he can't crack an egg.
No. He didn't hurt you.
Jimmy.
He didn't hurt you?
No, I had such a blast in that fight. You know, I wish they were all like that. I should yell at him though, because he made me fall in love with my hands, and then I took unnecessary shots. I had to from fucking Chris Lytle. I should have added a takedown. But anyway, let's get into more fights while we're waiting. Are we waiting?
Yeah. What's going on? Well, I'm waiting for Hamdi Abdelwahab, who had a tremendous first UFC appearance against Dontel Mays. Took the fight on 12 days notice, I think. He's the first Egyptian UFC fighter. And he seemed a little tired in the second, but he looked great. And I guess he's having a time. It's probably a time thing, or maybe he's traveling. Who the fuck knows?
He took the fight on 12 days notice. He had no camp. I want to ask if he was getting ready for something. What kind of shape he was when he took the fight. Because that's no camp on 12 days notice. That's
No, it's not. I think it was 12 days, man. I think so.
I was annoyed with.
Yes, 12 days. Yes.
I was annoyed with, and it's his fight. Guys, look up who the ref was in his fight, if you can. I'm sick of these guys playing to the crowd, these fucking refs.
Oh, lift the standing people up, yeah.
Oh, what's the matter? You want to be a hero to the crowd? Yeah. Why not be a hero to the fighters? Or being, how about just to the fighters? How about giving them their due when they get a takedown? Let them work a little, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Don't give in to the drunk fans.
It was unreasonable, some of the stand-ups.
When I see that, I see an insecure ref.
That's right.
Don't get me wrong. If there's a guy clearly not trying to pass a guard, just sitting
there,
I get it. But there's a big difference between that and a guy working, either get a takedown up against the cage and working him up against the cage.
Yeah.
Or on the floor. I mean, they had some stand-ups that were fucking horrendous.
Yeah, they had a few bad ones.
Specifically, Hamdi, who's going to be on in a second. Dude, he took shots that and he's tough. He could take them. But they wouldn't have took him if the guy didn't stand up.
Yeah, he should not have had to take that. Was that second or third round?
I remember he did it during the fight more than once. But it's remember how the fight ended. It ended with them on the feet. They wouldn't have been on the feet.
That's right. They should have been on the ground. Yeah.
Because Mays wouldn't have been he wouldn't have got up. You know.
First of all, I didn't think it was a split decision. I thought Hamdi should have won a unanimous, and also the. I thought that when he was at the end of the third or whatever, when they stood them up, I was thinking if he knocks him out right now, they shouldn't have been on their feet to begin with. He had him down and he was trying to stay active. He wasn't just laying on him.
Making a lot of sense, Jimmy. A lot of sense.
Yeah. And did you think it was unanimous? I thought Donatello's very tough, but I thought that should have been a unanimous decision. I was shocked.
Listen, yeah, no, of course he was tough. Dontell, but Hominy got that decision, man. I like him a lot. He's aggressive as hell. Now he's all together with this fight. He only has six fights, 6-0.
Yeah,
first UFC fight.
Yep.
So what's gonna happen with this guy with a full camp? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
I think he's very. It depends on who they match him up against, but I think he'd be very effective.
Look at you. You already. Yeah. Think he's not gonna go far.
I do.
I think the sky's the limit, Jimmy. I disagree with you.
I do too. I think. How old of a guy is he? He's only 29.
Jimmy, 29. Hey, Jimmy, how's your show's been? The Fat Black Pussy.
It's been very good. The Wednesday, Denver was great when I was there. I have a few gigs coming up to Rochester. Everything's been great. I mean, really good shows.
Let me ask you, Jimmy.
Sure.
As a guy who's been doing what you do for probably as long as I've been doing what I do, as far as jiu-jitsu and teaching, I don't know, 30 years, whatever it is. When it was almost taken away from you, and now it seems, a knock on wood, who knows with all shit that.
Right.
Who knows what's going to happen in the future, but with it almost taken away from us, both our livelihoods, what we mainly do. How does it feel now being back on the road? Is it a little bit more like, man, I took this for granted. This is such a great life, or no?
I won't take it for granted again. I'm kind of noticing just being appreciative of going to the Comedy Cellar, working on material. The travel still sucks. I hate flying. It's, you know, boring being on the road. But I love the fact that I can do it. So yeah, it's like I'm not taking for granted anymore these, the ability just to walk to the Comedy Cellar and do my sets.
I heard Louis C.K. one time. I think he was on Opie and Anthony, and he was talking about life on the road, he described a typical day. And when I listen to that, I'm like, if you just take out stand-up comedy and put in a jiu-jitsu seminar, I could fucking totally relate.
Yeah.
I could relate. Because there's been times, like, he was funny. I'm not going to do the whole thing.
Sure.
But he would, like, you know, he'd start the day and whatever. He would, it definitely worked, whacked off a lot, he would say.
Yeah.
But then he would go to a mall and offer, like, a soft-served yogurt. And then he realized the person he talked to at the cashier is the first person he talked to all day. I don't know. It was very...
Yeah.
You know, very nomadish. Like, it was like,
yeah,
you're there for a job and you're like, fucking, I don't know. You're like, and then you're right. Then you're out. Then you have like your little thrill when you do your thing and you have, and then you're back on a plane. It was, I could relate to it is what I'm saying.
Hey, Alexander, how you doing?
I'm fine, bro. Happy to talk with you.
Happy to talk with you too. You have to be feeling very good today after that incredible win on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's an incredible night. Feel so special when I go to the cage. I see Mike Tyson watch my fight. It's something I never gonna forget.
That's right. Yeah, Mike goes to a lot of fights. Do you when do you think of it while you're fighting at all? If there's like somebody you really love in the crowd and you notice them, does that are you able to not think of that during the fight?
It's like a hero, you know. I think it's Mike Tyson is special for all the fighters. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a jiu-jitsu guy, if you're a Muay Thai guy. It's something like it's an icon, you know. It's my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, everybody watched this guy. And it's nice because I win like Mike Tyson, you know. It's not like a knockout, but I win fast, you know. Everybody say me, when Mike Tyson go to the fight, everybody wait all the night and the fight is over in 1 minute, you know. It's very special.
It well, sucked you, when you were, oh, sorry, Matt, go.
No, I was going to say, well, you know what that's like now, buddy. I mean, you made quick work. And, you know, your opponent was no lemon. I mean, I was expecting a battle. And doesn't it feel great? Like, look at you. You got another mark on you. You probably have way tougher sparring sessions. Doesn't it feel great that you put all that work in and you're like, fuck, it pays off the way it does so early?
It's nice to talk to you, legend. It's something very special to me, too.
Oh,
yeah, I born and see all your fights, you know. I'm growing, watch you, you know.
Oh,
and it's very special. I'm so grateful to be a part of the UFC, you know. Something I walk around the all weekend, and everybody working for UFC, I see the happy faces, you know, everybody smile, happy what you do, and then I take care of the everybody, you know, when he's back to the after COVID, put everybody to work, it's something so special, and I'm working so hard for Alex Perez. I know he's a tough kid, you know, and when you train so hard for someone like that, you evolve, you know, and I've said that for him, you know, hey, bro, get hands up, you know, I'm training too much. I've trained so hard for you, you know, and my training partners know that I'm from America Top Team, you know, matter. It's a big gym, you know, you have so many guys of like you have 100 professional guys working the same place, you know, and all country, you know, you have Russians, you have guys from Ukraine and work with each other, you know, it's very special atmosphere, you know, and Japanese, you have Kyoji Taguchi, I train with Adriano Moraes too, and so many names, you know, and helping me to back to the fight, you know, after my surgery. And when I back to the gym, you need to train ATT, you know, you need to stay ready because all is a shark tank, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to my performance because I do that in the gym, all my trains like that, you know. The guys talk me with, I'm fight like a street fight, you know, because I love that, you know. You close the cage and I go to the fight, you know, and I try to do that in my fight, you know, I try to relax and just enjoy to all happy, you know, I go to Dallas and I think the first time I fight with public after COVID, and that's so special when Alex Perez go with a nice song, you know, Notorious, I love that song. But when my song start to make noise, you know, is a many man from 50 Cent. I never see that, bro. Everybody start to sing the song, you know, and I'm crazy. I'm taking off my t-shirt, take it off, you know, and I feel so great. And like I say, and I go to the cage, see Mike Tyson, Dana White, Meek, everybody's there. And I feel that's my night, you know.
Did you get to meet Mike at all?
Sorry?
Did you get to meet or talk to Mike Tyson at all?
No. I'm happy and I can see all things happen. You know, after the walk-in and I'll wait to Paris walk-in and I'm the backstage. But some guys from public start to take my picture and I take pictures with these guys, so like a selfies. And my coach Pahumpa said, hey, focus on the fight, focus on... But I just enjoy the moment, you know. I'm very focused, you know. I'm not dancing, I'm not doing not, you know. I'm very focused. I respect too much my opponent and all things happen, you know. But I enjoy all the show, you know, because UFC is that, you know. It's not just fight, you know, it's entertainment, you know. And when you have all this connection, that performance can happen, you know.
You're just enjoying the whole experience, every part of it, the pictures, the fight, the walkout, the whole thing for you is the same thing. You're just enjoying it.
And in the locker rooms, I feel so calm, you know, and I try to, Matt can say that when you feel like you put pressure in your shoulders, your legs, you feel the legs, your legs so heavy, you know. Yeah. And when you know that, you know, when you feel your legs heavy, bro, it's bad night for you, you know. And I just start thinking about that. I don't need to feel nervous, you know. I think that's my 12. I have 12 fights in UFC. I think something like that, 12 fights in UFC. And now I feel I deserve be a part of the UFC, you know. I feel like one of the best fighters of the world, you know. And now ATT, you have like the best norms of the game in my gym, and one of that names love watching me watch my train, you know. When I go to the cage, some guys sit around and watch because he said to me, hey, I love to see your train, bro, I love to see your fights. And that's one of the best names of the game, you know, like Thiago Marreta, you know, Junior Cigano. You know, bro, Junior Cigano is the Brazilian heavyweight champion, you know, and I train with these guys. You have Timbao, Pitbull, that guys like Matt Serra. I grew up watching these guys, and I feel very special moment in my career now.
Well, people, Jimmy, I don't know if you're aware, but on the Ultimate Fighter, you know, Alexandria beat both Brandon Moreno with a second round sub and Kaya France,
yeah,
with a unanimous decision. That's huge. I mean, people might not know that. So you were gone for a little while now, Alexandria. What happened? You had to get a surgery?
Yeah. I have a problem with my knee after Brandon Rival. I go to the fight with some problem, and in the fight, the problem is big, you know, and I need to stop to surgery. And the day I do my surgery, UFC call me about to fight for the title, you know, and something like I put one hand in the belt and need to say, I don't can go, you know, I need like a 6 month to recover. And I talk all the time. It's like something with God, you know, God say to me, hey, if you want this belt, you need proof one more time. You need real proof. You deserve that, you know. And when I go to the cage Saturday, I try to do that, you know. And when you say about Tuffy 24 is one more hard tournament, you know. I think because all the guys are champion, you know, all guys champion. You have the Choto guy champion, you know, Japanese guy. You have Kai, Brando is go to the their house with the number 16, so like the last guy, you know.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. You have Damasio Page, you know. Team Elliott, Matt Chanel, you know, a lot of good fighters, you know. Shit. And when I fight with Moreno, the first fight of the show, it's a war, you know. And some guys talk, hey, maybe Pantoja is not like that. You know, maybe Pantoja is not so good because he make a tough fight with the number 16. Right. But everybody now watching Moreno is a champion, you know. And Kai Kara France make the fight in the same night, and he knocked him out the guy with like a two punches, you know. And I come for the Kai fight with Kai with after war with Moreno, and my eye have like a big cut, like past gloom. And everybody know Kai have a big right hand, you know. And I need to make like a smart fight with Kai, you know, because I know he's danger.
Yeah.
And it's very tough fight for me because Kai don't fight, you know. He's make like a 2 points and knock him out this first guy. But yeah, for me, one of the more hard tough.
What did you think of the fight between Moreno and Kai, and how it ended?
Moreno looked so sharp that night, you know. Everybody know Kai have big right hand, but I think he need more, you know. You know, just one hand, you can be a champion, you know. And especially this division, you know. In that division, you need to know all skills, you know. Wrestler, BJJ, good striking, you know. And Moreno proved that, you know.
Well, Dan, DC was saying, I think it was during your fight, that in your division, guys have to be so much better. Like he said that, like, you have to be better than he was as a heavyweight to compete at flyweight because everybody is so good at that weight. Everybody has so many weapons at that weight. Maybe you're right. Maybe Kai does need to add something to his arsenal. Because it seems like everybody in flyweight can do everything well.
When I watch, like, I think last month, Matt Chanel with Su, the China's guy.
Yeah,
it's incredible fight, you know.
Simidage, yeah.
It's special moment for flyweight. And you have Manel Capi, the Angolan guy, he's coming from, man, this Manel Capi is a huge guy, you know, it's a huge guy in the, huge name in the flyweight division. And I'm so happy. Now I beat Manel Capi, one of the big names. Brandon Rival is coming off two wins. Mm. And now Alex Perez, after he fight for the title, and I really think I can fight for the title. You know, you see everybody see how fat Davidson Figueiredo is now, you know. And he looked like a retired, you know, retired.
He looks fat, you said?
You don't see him?
Does Figueiredo look fat? I didn't know that he was wearing a jacket.
Man,
yeah.
He's looking like a 116, you know, something like that. Bro.
Oh, shit.
Do you think that he's moving up, or do you think that he's just eating too much?
I think he don't focus in yourself, you know.
Nice.
You know that when you have a lot of cameras and lights in your sometimes you lose your head, you know.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this happened to him now, you know. He's had some problem with his manager. He's tried to change manager. He changed to the gym, and I know he don't fight for the title because he had some problem with the finger. But when you have problem with your finger, you can run, you can lift, you can do it all shit, you know.
Yeah.
When I look to Figueiredo, he's when I see him in this weekend, he's in the lobby on the hotel. I think maybe he's have the belt in the shoulder. I don't know. He's gonna back to the fight. He's just enjoy everything he do in the past, you know.
I think resting on his laurels. In other words, I'm the champ now. I don't gotta train. I could just chill out, shake hands, and kiss babies, sign autographs.
Yep.
He's getting Hollywood. Is that what you're saying? He's getting soft.
That's it. Good. And he looked like a clown, bro. You know.
Oh shit.
I don't know. What do you call that? Is a
eyebrow.
He put his collar in the red, you know.
Oh, damn.
Man, he have a jacket with the lights in, and that, and I don't feel his respect the moment of the Brandon Moreno. Like then I say, you know, you don't respect Moreno when that's a big moment for the guy. He have the belt or again interim belt, doesn't matter, but it's a big moment, and then he. Put it on, he jumped in the cage like I'm the real champion, but he looked like a clown, you know, like a, I don't know, man.
Do you think that they kind of prompted him to get in the cage? Didn't they, you know, Davidson, get up here? Like, didn't they kind of push him to go in the cage, and or did he want to do it on his own? It looked to me like they were trying to tell Davidson to come into the cage to have that moment.
I think he just wants more lights in him, you know.
More lights on him. Like
I want the cameras. I want the cameras. I want attention, you know. All the time, I want attention. If you want attention, go fight, bro. Because that's why he have attention, you know. Because he's a brilliant fighter, you know. He's a very good fighter, you know. But when he's out the cage. It look different, you know. I tell him, he look like a fake guy out of the cage, you know. Of course, he's a real champion, real fighter. He's have so many skills. He's destroyed all division, bro. He's beating Moraga. Moraga is a big name of division, you know. He's killed Benavides 2 times, you know.
Yeah.
And man, he's a fucking danger guy, you know. And now you look to him and. It looked like he's not gonna fight more. You know, he don't look to the future. He's just still in the past. You know.
Well, that's good for you, though. Yeah. Don't you think?
And I found him in the backstages and after all that shit happened, and he said to me, "Hey, bro, I don't know if I can make the weight." And I tell him, "Hey, bro, go up, man. Take this bantamweight for Brazil, and I take it for the flyweight." You know, but you're gonna stop the division again, man. And Moreno say December, and now I hear Figueiredo say February. You know,
man, he tell him to get on a treadmill, man. We gotta keep this shit going.
Of course, man. I ready to fight, man. Come on, I fight in December or I fight in November. You know.
So, what do you think you have to do to get a shot? Do you think that they're going to have their fourth fight definitely next? That's the unification fight. And then you'll fight the winner of that. Or do you think you're going to have to fight somebody else first?
It's hard to me say because Figueiredo is the true champ. Moreno have the interim belt now. And the thing to do is the four times Figueiredo and Moreno. But I say again, when Davidson is ready, you know, when he need like a 3 months, 4 months to back the shape, to do it again, all your training camp, you know, I don't know if he go to the Cali to train with Faber. And like I said before, you know, I fight for with Brandon Rival, and I have one hand at the title. I need to make my surgery. I'm back again, fight with Paris. I have 3 wins in a row, you know, with a big opponent. And I would fight for the belt, you know, but I believe in UFC. I know UFC try to do the best for all, not just for me, not just for one or two guys, but all for division and the best for UFC, you know. That's the entertainment, you know. If you don't like, get out, you know. And I have to with my contract. I have to because I'm from Brazil. I'm from a small city. I don't have any shit when I come to US. And now I have my house. I have my kids here speaking English. You know, I grabbed my green card. And I'm so happy and glad to be a part of that, you know. And I have to train in the best gym in the world, America Top 10. I have the best partners, best coaches. And I'm ready to do one more fight if I need, you know. But I think the fight, what everybody wants to see, it's my fight now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see you against either one of those guys. Alexander, look, come back on with us again. Congratulations on that win. You looked incredible. And whether they have to fight first or you're next, either way, you're going to get your shot at the title. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And congratulations, man. It was a great night. Thanks for so you. Much. And you really, really, the most impressive win of the night was yours. So
entertaining, so dude. So
yeah, really.
You walked really nice. Walked him right down like a little Tyson, and you got a hold of him, got his back. And I tell you right now, I don't know if that was a choke or you were going to break his fucking neck, because that was fucking, that choke.
Yeah, on the jaw.
That was so nasty, man.
If you don't stop me, I bring it to his head for my house.
You were stretching him too, right? Weren't you holding it away too? You were kind of like pulling his neck and his chest back. That was a really painful looking.
First, I just tried to clean, to put like a the needle choke, like a common needle choke. But I feel he have the chin, and I think I need a good elephant because I don't can grab like a perfect. And I know I need to clean one hand, and when I have, I just like a. Put more strong I can do, you know. I try to do the same with Thiago Moisés, doing some one choke, one different choke, 1 month again, Thiago Moisés. And but I try, bro. I thinking about to leave the back and try to knock him out here again, you know, like because I feel he feel my hand, the first hand. Yeah. Bro, I'm on fire that night, you know. I feel I can knock him out. But if I leave the back, my coach Pahumpa is maybe is jumping the cage and gonna kill me, you know.
Hey, I'm glad you listened to Pahumpa. He did the right thing. Your next fight, maybe you show off, you get a knockout next one. But that's beautiful, man. So well rounded.
Yeah.
So well rounded, man. And even the back take from the single to the come up to the, that was fucking beautiful. So we can't wait to watch you fight again, man.
Yeah.
That's again.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
All right. We'll see you again, man. Pleasure talking to you, all right? Thank you. Thank you. Alexander Pantoja.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
finisher today. He always gets a hangout pass. Hey, Gerald, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Hey, y'all got to forgive me if it's hard to hear me. I'm in my car because I actually am dropping my son off. He's moving in. He transferred from Oklahoma to Fort Hays State. He's playing football here. Oh, and we had a furniture store right now. But if you thought I was going to miss this.
Hey,
listen, I'm glad this is unfiltered because that's exactly what I'm going to be. Going to try to control myself.
Don't do it.
But I'm not going to. I'm lying.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Oh, did you have something? No, you were about to say something? I don't want you to control yourself.
The gold! Stop playing with her. Stop playing. I tried to tell y'all. I've been saying this. I tried to tell y'all. See, a lot of people, they think people make excuses because they tell the truth.
Yeah.
If you ask a person, what happened? Why did you lose? And they tell you, I had COVID, which was, they pushed the fight back. Okay, I had COVID, but I said, you know what? I'm going to fight anyway. I came back. Anybody who's had COVID knows that Amanda was not lying about not being able to breathe right, not being able to function right. When you get COVID, you don't get right back right to being normal.
Yeah, and she has sinus issues to begin with. She has bad sinus to begin with.
We see Lamar Jackson, he was dominating the league before he got COVID. He came back, he wasn't the same player because it's hard to recover from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not regular recover from. And then if you're already battling COVID, you're struggling to breathe, you can't function like you usually do, able to move and push through, you might take wrong steps, you might compensate, and that's how you can hurt your knee. She hurt her knee, but she said, you know what? She said it. I got to a point to where it was nothing else to prove, so I'm just like, let me go fight this fight. You know, I probably should have did it, but it cost me my belt. But don't get it twisted. I am still the lioness, and she proved it. You know what pissed me off the most is that I was in that stadium. I was sitting front row, and they introduced her, and I heard boos. Yeah. Why on earth did we boo the lioness? She's not a villain. She don't disrespect anybody. If you want somebody else to win, that's fine. But why did we boo her? So when she started dominating that fight, I was talking crazy to everybody. I'm not going to lie to you. I turned around to a fan. I was like, I heard you booing. Why are you not booing? Why are you so quiet? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know why they would boo her either, to be honest with you. The amount of the wins she's had, the people she's beat, how dominant she's been, she's entitled to have one bad fight. Matt and I talked about this before. I thought that the 50-43 or 50-44 was a little unfair to Juliana, but it was clearly she won every round. She was very dominant.
Yeah, well, she was dominant. 50-43 is kind of crazy because, yeah. I mean, you look at Amanda's face, she obviously was getting hit. I don't know if she got kneed or what. I thought it was dominant and very clear. 50-43 is like,
yeah,
like no, like really no resistance, you know what I'm saying? And let me just say this. Before, I had so much respect for Pena because she's a single mom from Chicago.
Yeah.
And she makes everything about her little girl. Yes, she wanted to do the interview, she took in the media, but she always found her way to go back to take her daughter, seeing her compete. Saying I have to make sure that my daughter sees how I am and I don't quit and this is not going to happen. If anybody ever needed an example of what it looks like to compete when you're doing it for your children, go watch that fight. I believe anybody else would have folded after the second round.
I mean,
literally, when Amanda was squeezing her neck, you could see it was almost like they was pouring blood out of her head. And she didn't quit. She never, man, listen. I'm going to tell you right now, stay away from her. Like, if it wasn't Amanda, that somebody's losing that night. Like, stay away from Pena. She's every bit of what she said she is. She got a fan in me and the rest of my family, and we're all looking forward to her next fight. I hope the surgery went well, she heals up, and I can't wait to see her fight again because she is a dog, man. I'm telling you.
And you know what it was too? When you see somebody like, even though she lost every round, she was so ferocious off her back and trying to throw up submissions. I feel like I would still love to watch her fight again tomorrow. Like, she didn't lose anything, even though she lost 50-45.
Heck no. Anybody who says that, I don't think her rank, I don't know if she was ranked, but I don't think her ranking should drop. She fought, like, this is the best women's fighter of all time you went against.
Yeah.
And anybody else that Amanda has had tough fights with, like Shevchenko, when they went all the rounds, she didn't look the way she looked after the fight. Like, Amanda looked like she had been through a brawl, even though she dominated the fight. Just like her foot, she was on crutches. Her eye was closed. Like, she looked like she went through it. So Pena, man, I'm telling you, they need to stay away from Pena. Like, Amanda's going to fight who she's going to fight next. But everybody else, it's not going to go like they think. I guarantee you ain't nobody jumping in line to fight Pena. They're not doing it.
What did you think of the, we talked before too, about the Derek Lewis stoppage. It definitely felt, again, I think he was in big trouble, but it was too soon. Yeah.
It was too soon. I mean, look at Juliana and how, like, let's say Amanda had pounced. Like, Amanda said that she wanted to go five rounds. She wanted to prove how much better she was, which that's a statement fight. But let's say she did try and finish her. And Juliana, with what we've seen with all five rounds, we've seen that even though you look like you're in trouble, you might still be able to keep going. I feel like we don't even know what Big Lou could have done had he just, you know, I mean, one punch on the ground and he stopped it. Yes, he was in trouble, but we've seen times where refs didn't stop it and guys come back and throw a haymaker and win the fight,
yep. You know?
But, I mean, in hindsight, like, we can all say it was an early stoppage, but it's not like it was personal. You know, he was just doing his job. So, he made a mistake, but we all make mistakes. It happens. You know what I'm saying? So, it is what it is. But I hated it for Big Lou, you know, being in Texas. Yeah. You know, I had a guy sat next to where I was at. He said he follows Lewis. Like a, you know how you have fans that follow rock stars, they go to all the concerts. He said any fight he's at, he's there. So he was really upset, you know, but I don't think it should drop Lewis ranking at all. You know, it's just unfortunate that it went that way. I think all of us would have liked to have seen if he could have recovered, but he was in trouble. He was in trouble.
Yes.
It's a rough call for the ref. The way he dropped down, I mean, you know, you see fights where Lewis, even his last one, he kind of fell forward and it's over. And
right.
It's a, you know, I wouldn't want to be a ref.
I wonder if they're a little bad. Do you think they're a little different with heavyweights too? Because again, the amount of force you're getting hit with, it's not absolutely like taking a flyweight shot. It's a heavyweight. A few shots like that could really, really get you hurt.
Yeah. And the thing is, regardless, this is what I want to say. The fans shouldn't give the ref a hard time. Yes, the consensus is it was an early stoppage. Some people that was in there said it wasn't early, but he was just doing his job. And as simple as that, like, his job is to protect the fighters at all times. And that's what he was doing. Yes, us as fans want to see it, but he did his job. So I think everybody should just be like, hey, it happened. Let's move on, you know?
Hey, almost as important, I want to talk a little pop culture with you. I like your Ninja Turtles shirt, but I'm looking at your Twitter. Your new profile pic is Batman strangling Superman.
Yeah, believe it.
Now, did you watch the movie Batman versus Superman?
Yes. I literally just watched it. Oh. I'm seriously not lying. I literally just watched it 4 days ago. I watched Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman. Then I watched the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
Oh, I like that.
It took me about 3 days to watch it, but I watched it because it's 4 hours long. So, and Batman versus Superman is almost 3 hours long. So, you know,
are you a fan? You're a fan of those movies?
Yes, I am. I understand why people had a problem with it, but how I see it is, Zack Snyder shot the movie so well; they were beautifully shot, like how he filmed them. Like the scene, as much as people may not like the movie, the scene where Batman is trying to get the kryptonite, right? And he turns the corner and he's doing a tailspin and Superman's just standing there. Yeah. And then his car hits Superman and kind of ricochets off. Yeah. And it's their first time facing off. How the camera had panned out, the dialogue, Superman threatening him, him flying off, Batman like looking at him like, yeah, hey, listen, I know you, you know, I know you super, but what's good? What you want to do? That is like, that was like a great scene. And I feel like, you know, Zack Snyder got kind of unfairly judged off the movie, but I can understand why people didn't like it, but I loved them. I loved all of them. So that's just me though.
You know? Did you ever see, not the series, I wasn't crazy about the series. Did you ever see The Watchmen, the movie by Zack Snyder?
Yeah, I watched it.
That's pretty dark, and that's, it's pretty good.
Extremely dark. It's extremely dark, yeah.
But you know why? It's true to the source material.
Yeah, it is. It is. Did you watch the HBO series?
Once I found out that they don't really have powers, like kind of thing, I'm like, ah.
Yeah. It actually turned out to be pretty good. Like a little twist at the end. Plot twist. Yeah, it was pretty good.
What's your favorite moment in any superhero movie?
Any superhero movie? I'll say the most iconic moment I've ever been a part of is Cap picking up the hammer. And Endgame.
Yes. What about when he thinks it's just him, he ties on his
shield,
and all of a sudden he hears in his ear, Jimmy, he hears a certain little phrase. He's going to finish it for me. What does he hear in his ear from his good friend?
On your left.
On your left! Yes! Motherfuckers, look at this. Look at this shit. I live this. Yeah. I live
it. Oh, man. You see what my shirt is, man. This is not. I'm not a fan. It's a lifestyle.
On the left, Jimmy. Do you know what that's from, Jimmy?
I've never seen that one. No, I've only seen a couple of them.
So in Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Yes.
At the very beginning, when Falcon was running, he was jogging. When Captain America kept running past him, he kept saying, "On your left." Like letting them know, like somebody's coming. So that's what he heard in his ear. That was like his catchphrase, like on your left. And when he heard that in his ear, I know I lost it. Everybody in the theater lost it. So.
Oh, okay. Now wait, that's not the first Captain America. Is that the first one or no?
That's the second one.
Oh, okay.
Winter Soldier.
Yes, sir.
Now I would recommend. Maybe you could back me up on this, Gerald. For Jimmy, who's not a huge superhero guy. Winter Soldier is like that movie is like, it's by the Russo brothers. It's like, it's almost like a spy movie. You don't even have to, if he didn't have a shield on and whatnot, you would think it's like one of those like FBI, what's that one's, the novels by those. Anyway, it's like almost like a Jason Bourne type show. It's really
like an espionage movie for sure.
Winter Soldier.
Definitely like an espionage movie. Winter Soldier is, to me, I would put it in the top five. Marvel movies. Oh, that's me. Yeah. I just thought, and you know what? I love. Have you seen The Gray Man?
Oh, you know what? I was going to watch it.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. The Russos put a knife flip in there. I don't know if people know, like, the Russos thing is a knife flip. Like, when Bucky was fighting Captain America, there was a knife flip. When they was in, when Civil War, there was a knife flip. And Extraction with Chris Hemsworth, there was a knife flip. In The Gray Man, there was a knife flip. It's like, it's almost like if you know their work, know what's coming in a fight scene. Yeah, and I think that's pretty cool.
Is it good? Is it worth watching?
Yes, it is, because it's got Chris Evans and what's my man?
Captain America. Oh, that's
Chris Evans. Why do I always
Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner. What's his name? I know what you're talking about.
It's got Ryan
Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, I always draw a blank. Yeah.
Pop culture buddies. We can talk pop. We can have a nerd show together. Me and Joe.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Gerald, before we have another couple of minutes with you. Did you meet Dana when you were in Vegas? Was that your first time meeting him?
That was my first time meeting Dana. Yeah, I wanted to meet him in Vegas. I was supposed to go to the Apex one time, but I was in Texas when they all went, so I didn't get a chance to go. But yeah, that was my first time meeting him, man. And I felt like him doing what I've seen him do separates him from most people. You know, like he doesn't have to walk around and shake it.
Right.
He can dap people up and keep walking, but it's a lot of weirdos out there. Like as much as we may not want to admit, there's a lot of weirdos out there. But for him to sit and take pictures, like every person he stopped, let me get, picture. It wasn't even like a, Dana, can I get a picture? People was just reaching out, grabbing him, and he was just leaning in like, yeah. That's incredible to see, man, because he's like, you know, these one of them, like, Jerry Joneses, you know, the people, them untouchable people, that's him. And for him to, like, normalize himself and do that, it makes fans support not just him, but the UFC even more. And I thought that was incredible, man.
100%. And I've been saying that for years too, that, like, you know, like, it all kind of rolls downhill, and the fighters see the way Dana treats the fans, and they treat the fans really well. And I think that's helped with the growth of the sport a lot. It invests people in them. People just love these guys. I think you're right. I think that fan friendly and that accessibility has made that sport, it's helped it grow a lot, because boxers don't stop and do that.
No, they man, the UFC fighters are incredible, man. I this past year, the MMA Awards, I was able to present an award, man, and just being around the fighters or the staff in general, just everybody around it was incredible. Nobody, you didn't run into nobody that had an ego.
Right.
Everybody was just like a family. And I'm like, man, y'all punch each other in the face all the time. It's like, but that's what families do. Like, your family can fight internally. You know what I'm saying? Your family fight internally, but y'all love each other like 10 minutes later. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all might be beefing for a little bit, but after y'all fight or get the argument out, now y'all family again. And that's how the UFC organization is, man. They were just all, it was like just, you know, like this incredible family. And I had a blast, man. I love it. I love it. I just love to see how humble everybody is.
Yes, agree.
Listen, before we let you go, I can't get you out of here before asking. Have you seen The Boys on Amazon Prime?
Of course. Come on. Hey, listen. You mean to tell me all the things we've seen and you think I haven't watched The Boys? Like, come on.
I'm getting through it. It's fucking first of all, it's disturbing, a lot of it, but it's really, Jimmy, we talked about this before. It's like the Justice League or the Avengers. It's like if they were a bunch of assholes, like a bunch of just, it's almost like realistic. It's what people.
It's what I believe would be the Justice League if it was real life.
That's kind of sad, though.
They have real life problems. They just so happen to be suits. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't believe that people would just be, if Superman was running around here, right? I just don't believe that. I think Lex Luthor is the most realistic villain, because I feel like that's how most people would be. Like, yes, he can save us, but he shouldn't just be able to do whatever he wants. Like, we should fear that dude, because at any point he could turn evil. Just so happened, you know, they do have an evil Superman. He's really an a-hole. You know what I'm saying? Like,
such an asshole. And they do make it kind of scary, because he will fucking just he'll fry you with his eye beams. He'll punch you. He's a psychopath on the edge, and everybody around him, including the other superheroes, are like,
what episode are you in? How far are you in?
I gotta see the episodes. I'm watching it with my wife.
What's the last thing that happened?
Well,
kind of general, without spoilers.
What the one last that happened, the superhero type girl, Maeve, I believe, Brave Maeve. We don't know if she's alive with that type of thing.
Okay, so they already jumped him. Already jumped. When they jumped him and couldn't stop him.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh, no. Stop. Spoilers. No. They didn't jump him yet. They didn't jump Homelander yet. So let's just stop right there.
Okay, because it's coming.
They're about to. They're about to. Oh, I'm so excited. Jimmy, I'm going to watch that one tonight. I'm right there.
Just watch it. And that's not really a giveaway, because it's like, I mean, obviously he makes it to the end of the season. So, but just watch that scene. And then it plays right into the fact of you saying how scary, like, a Homelander could be in real life.
And I love the fact how they're doing, it's almost like Captain America, Soldier Boy. I don't know too much about him yet, but he just came, it's almost like when Captain America came out of being frozen and he's in the new world, they kind of made it like, you know, goofy and like Marvel, like, oh, wow, this is, you know, there's a radio, there's a TV type of thing. But in this one, like, he's walking
around. It's realistic. He's really looking around like, wait, hold up. We ain't got this no more. Wait, why don't we have this? This is weird. Like,
it's yes.
Yeah.
It's everything in the culture.
And that's why I love the boys. Yeah man. I just did a fantasy draft of like superheroes. It was two Marvel, two DC,
what?
Two villains and two wild cards. My lineup, I had Batman, Superman for DC. For Marvel, I had Hulk and Deadpool, I believe. And then for my villains, I had I don't remember my villains or my wild cards, how I had them lined up, but I had Omni-Man.
Okay.
Have you seen, what's it?
Unbreakable. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
He's like
Invincible. Invincible. Yeah, I had Omni-Man. I had Omni-Man. I had Darth Maul. I had Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. And I had, I think I had Achilles from Troy. I think I did.
I throw a Jedi in there on mine, and I'd have a yeah. Too. I do similar things with my kids. We do that fantasy thing. Will you do that with your friends or something? What do you do that fantasy?
Marvel? Nah, it was on a bar stool. It was on a bar stool podcast.
Oh shit! Oh well, that's fun as hell.
Ahead, Gerald, are you plugging anything today too? I mean, you're such a great guest, but are you promoting anything we can help you promote?
Nah, just keep rooting for the Lioness. That's all I care about, man. I want to see my favorite fighters are the Lioness. I can't wait to see Bones back. I love Izzy. O'Malley.
You gotta love Usman, Kamaru Usman.
Big Lou. I root for Usman for sure, because I like to see greatness and I respect greatness. So Usman, man, like, you just see some people where they're just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of them people that like don't want, if you're better than everybody else, I look at it like this. If you don't like it, beat them. Yeah. Don't, like, when people hated the Patriots when Tom Brady was winning, like, people, oh, I don't want Tom Brady to win. Beat him.
That's it.
That's how I see it. Like, beat him. You can't, it sucks that our world is filled with so much hate that when a person is incredible or great at what they do, they can be too great. What do you mean he's too great? Like, oh, he just went into, what do you mean? Beat him.
That's it.
Like, he's grinding every day to beat Usman. Beat him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why when they was booing Amanda, I'm like, are we mad because she's this good? Like, I don't get it. But anyway,
I don't get it either.
I'm happy for her.
Gerald, it's really, really good talking to you. And come back anytime, man. We'd love to have you again. You're such a fun guest and a real fan.
I love being on here. Yes, I am a fan, man. I watch every weekend. If I'm anywhere in the vicinity, I'm definitely going to the event. I love it. I'm a technician in what I do. As a defensive lineman, you have to have great technique. And watching these men and women compete in this sport, for whatever reason they do it, it's an art. And I took my best friend and my barber with me. And I was explaining to them what they're watching because they had never seen in person. And I was explaining to them about checking a leg kick or getting placement with your hands when you doing ground control. And I was saying, just watch, it's an art to what they're doing. It's not just getting there and wrestle. It's not just getting there and box. There's an art to everything. Amanda, like, and I'll say this and then I'm gonna go. If you're a fan of the Lioness, you knew as soon as she took her jacket off and she had yellow on, you should have known what time it was.
That's serious. A mic drop.
When she took her jacket off and she had on her yellow outfit, I said, it's go time. She hasn't worn yellow in forever. But when she put that yellow on, you already know what time it was. But then when she came out 5, 10, 15 seconds in and she switched to southpaw, I said, I know what she's doing. I knew what she was doing. And that's an art. She knew that Juliana would not be ready to adjust to her fighting southpaw. And Amanda said, I'm not even a good southpaw, but I knew I was good enough to where she couldn't adjust. That's an art, man. That's not just in there fighting. That's a strategy. She knew, okay, I'm going to beat her up, and then I'm going to keep her on the ground because I know my jiu-jitsu is better. That's an art, man. You can't just do that. So, yes, I'm a true fan. I mean, and what makes me even more of a fan is Dana being the way he is, the fighters all being humble, and this just being their sport. This is what they love to do. They love to compete. You know, to hear a fighter say, man, it's been 5 months since I've been in the ring. I missed it. Like, I don't miss getting in nowhere and fighting. Like, I don't. Yeah. And they do. And I think we just got to respect it. And I love the UFC. And thank you guys for having me. This is incredible. And I will for sure be back on at some point.
Thanks, Gerald. It was great talking to you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Gerald. Fellas.
All right. Take care of yourself, man. Congratulations on that win. I thought you should have been given a unanimous decision. I was surprised. Were you surprised it was split?
Yeah, I was so surprised when I heard they give him the second round. I was shocked. Even the guy was, he knows, like, the whole three round he lost them, but he got like excited when he see himself getting the second round. He didn't believe it too.
You know what upset me? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Hamid.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what upset me is that you were taking him down, and the ref, I don't like when they play to the crowd and people just want to see guys banging. There was some unwarranted stand-up.
Yeah, they did it two times for me. Like, they did this two times. One time I had his back. It's not just like I'm holding down and I'm sitting there just chilling, like hanging out. No, I was having his back for any time I can finish the fight. But like, he always was going with the crowd, like you said. He was going with when he see the crowd like was booing or something. He always like, okay, get back. I don't know.
That's
like,
frustrating. How did you now? Before we go further, let me ask you, because people, I don't know if they know. You realize, I believe it was 12 days notice. You got the call.
Yeah.
Now, were you already training for something or no?
No, I was just in the beginning of June, and I was just taking off after this fight. So I was off after this fight, taking a break, like, you know, resting, and they just called me. But the way how they called me for the fight, you know, was making me feel a little bit uncomfortable to tell me like, oh, if you can't take that fight, we understand. Like, you know, it might be a little bit soon for you. I said like, no, it's never soon for me. I'm like, you tried to say like I'm weak or something. Now I'm taking the fight. Even the guy was the one of the top 15, the tallest, the biggest, the second biggest guy in the heavyweight division. I said like, okay, it doesn't matter. I take the fight. And I took it. Like, I get ready. Like, I get ready as much as I can, in like 12 days.
Do you think in a way it helped you? Like, did you have any nerves about it, or did you not even have time to think?
I wasn't have time to think. I was just training two times a day, in the morning and afternoon. Like, I pushed myself to be ready as much as I can.
And I thought of that too. When they stood, I think it was in the third, wasn't it in the third round with maybe a minute left or whatever, they stood you guys back up and he landed a few punches on you. And I thought you like, if you would have gotten knocked out there, I didn't think it was fair that you had to even take those punches, because you should not have been stood up in the third round. That was very frustrating. I imagine that really bothered you a lot.
It bothered me a lot because I was active. It's not just like I'm holding him down and I put him against the cage. I was active. I was throwing punch. I was like, he was trying to get up and I hold him. Like, I took him down three times. He tried to get up, I took him down again, and I was active. I was throwing punch, I was throwing elbows, hooks, everything for me to keep him active and keep controlling the round, because I get injured in the beginning of the second round on my eyes, so I don't want to risk it. Like, it's not like he's gonna knock me out. Like, he couldn't knock me out while I didn't see. He punched me in my eyes and I couldn't see, and he couldn't do anything. So while I'm standing and I can't see, he was never gonna knock me out. It doesn't make me nervous, as I just don't want to risk it, because he was not trying to knock me out. He was trying to play with the referee to punch me in my eyes again, and the referee stopped the fight because he came between the round, between the second and third round, and he was asking me, oh, can you see? I said like, yeah, and he was about to like, oh, but your eyes looks bad, so he was about to stop the fight because of my eyes. So he was trying to play in this. He was trying to just punch me again in my eyes. He was never gonna knock me out if he couldn't do it while I didn't see and I lost my balance and I lost my version of seeing. He was never gonna knock me out.
Well, did you see Matthew Semlesberger's eye? How bad that was. If they didn't stop that fight, they weren't stopping anything.
Yeah. I, like I saw the but that was after, but like I just felt it like maybe the because he was playing in the first round, I took him down and has back, and the guy, the referee stopped the position, he had me start from the center. And then in the second round, he did the same thing. In the third round, I have him against the cage. It's not just like I'm lying down in him and he's back in the mat. No, he was against the cage. That position is always active because you're getting punched or you punch. So it never like you lying down there. It always active. He was trying to get up. I hold him down. I punch him. He tried to get up again. So he saved him a lot. Like he saved him a lot this fight. He saved him for the first round. He saved him the third round. He was trying to like, you know, give him the fight, give him chance to throw some punch or to knock me out, because this is the only way he can win the fight. After the three round, the only way he can win the fight to knock me out.
What I'm excited about is I can't wait to see you with a full camp. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. To take down on 12 days notice, there's no camp involved. No. There's just maybe getting a sweat out or something. There's no camp. I know what it's like. There's a reason why people don't just fight getting off the couch. You need a fight. You need a training camp. So the fact that you did what you did, and you not only did you have to fight Dante, you had to fight the ref on that fucking thing. The ref was fucking horrible. I mean, again, I can't wait to see you fight with a full camp. Let me ask you, what is the MMA scene like in Egypt? This is amazing. You are the first Egyptian fighter to sign with and win a UFC fight.
Yes.
That's wild.
MMA in Egypt doesn't have that public of knowing. Not everybody know about MMA in Egypt. Yeah, they know about wrestling, they know about judo, boxing, but like as a mixed martial arts federation, we recently started have this like this sport in Egypt. That's why like most of people who are doing MMA in Egypt, they're not doing really MMA in Egypt. They have to be like some other country, like Dubai, Kuwait, Bahrain, some other country, Europe. But yeah, now I see a lot of people watching. For some reason, like, let me tell you something. For some reason, my fight, most of people saw that fight, was watching the fight. It was 3 o'clock in the morning in Egypt. Everybody I know and I don't know in Egypt was watching the fight live. Even
So do you think it'll become popular there? Like if you get a couple of Egyptian fighters, do you think that interest will really go up there quickly?
It already become a bubbler after my fight. Most of the people that was watching the fight, even like in a restaurant, in a cafe, and everywhere they was putting my fight in the screen for everybody to watch it. And like I get a lot of message after that fight from like most too many people and news and this and this and this. They was watching the fight. They was supporting that just because the surprise. They see like, oh, it's the first Egyptian to fight in the UFC. And they saw me doing well. So everybody get motivated and they want to do it. They want to do the same thing I do.
Ah, nice.
That's amazing. That must feel great. And it's well-deserved. Well-deserved, buddy.
Thank you.
Now, you competed in Egypt's Olympic Greco-Roman wrestling team.
Yeah.
On the wrestling team in 2016. Now, being that you're such I want to know about your training. Because I'll tell you, being that you were, I mean, your wrestling looks amazing. I love your grappling. But your striking was great, too. Well, tell me about your training. Where did you start with? And when did you do the striking and whatnot?
We started doing striking like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I started like working my boxing. I started training with like Muay Thai. I started training with like professional boxing coaches. To teach me and to make me like, you know, transfer the whole, like the most important thing, the standing from like, you know, when you wrestle, your elbow have to be close to your hip, you know, like you can't go like, yeah. Like you have to be close for boxing. Everything is open and wild open. And that was like, this was tough transition from wrestling to boxing. So it took me like two years just training boxing with my Egyptian coach. He just was teaching me everything about boxing, how to move, how to defend my face. And for that fight, specific for that fight, I expect the guy knows I'm going for a wrestle. I'm going to wrestle him 100%. He knows he have longer reach than me. He had good striker than me. So he know 100%. He was sure 100% I'm going to wrestle with him because I'm not going to risk it. Go for a striking, going for like, you know, stand up with him. But I proved them the opposite. In the first round, I always knock him out, and also the referee like save him because you watch their close fight, you see how fast fast the referee stopped the fight. I talk more than like 30 seconds punching the guy in the face, took him to the ground, keep ground and pound him in the face, and the referee didn't stop the fight. He gave him a chance to recover and stand up again, and I took him down. It was like, you know, just a little bit tough, but I agree. I'm a fighter. I like challenge. I like the challenge that the referee too. He was trying to, like, you know, put so much pressure on me to, like, make me lose my focus in the fight. But I said, like, no, I get it. The guy wanna.
What do you? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, what do you see next for yourself? Like, do you have anybody in mind, or what do you think your next step in UFC is?
I have nobody in my mind because I wouldn't expect to fight that soon and that, like, this guy. But since they gave it to me, it's a good fight. It's a tough opponent. Have a good record. He's been in the UFC since 2019. He fought 3 times in a contender series. He ranking top 15 now. So I wasn't expect to make my debut with that. With a name like this. At least I thought my gonna be my debut was like another guy. He make his debut too. So, but I say, like, okay, since God wrote me to do my debut with a big name like this, so probably have something good for me behind this. So I didn't expect any name. Like, whenever they match me again, I will take it. I will fight.
Well, what a way to come on the scene. Because, you know, you took a shot by answering the call. And I'm so happy you did, because it's really exciting, especially for a heavyweight. You know, you're 29 years old. You got the Greco-Roman background. Your wrestling's phenomenal. You've shown that you're not afraid to stand and strike. You got a good chin. Oh, man, I mean... I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Yeah,
me too. I just really need a chance to do a full camping. You know, you can tell, like, my weight was a little bit over. Normally I don't weigh that much. My cardio was not the best, but I did my best to get myself in shape. As, like, you can tell, like, it's 1 week training. Like, if you count it, because, like, a couple of days is off in 12 days. They call me 12 days, and, like, I train in the same day, but not really. Like, for if UFC fights, you need, like, at least a month and a half for camping.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, so 4 to 5 weeks.
Hey, well, listen, you seized an opportunity because everybody's talking now.
Yeah. I took it as a test too. You know, I took that fight as a test because I told myself, they sign you and they call you 2 weeks after they sign you. They might be, like, testing you to see if you're going to be that guy who say, like, oh, I cannot take this fight, or they want to see you, like, ah, yeah, I can take that fight. Winning or lose, I will show up and I will do my best. So I took it as a challenge for myself, because I think about it, it's UFC testing me, because it's an Egyptian guy, have, like, 5 professional record. It's not that much of a professional record of, like, his career, but I said, like, okay, let me prove this them the opposite. Let me prove them they are wrong.
And no matter what happened, everybody knew you only had a 12-day camp. Everybody knew you took it on short notice. So that was kind of a good thing to go in with, because they knew that you were taking it on very short notice.
Yeah, but I didn't take it like, oh, maybe I can lose the fight. No, I was thinking I need to win that fight. You know, it was a challenge for me because I felt like they feed me to build the other guy. You know, they have a lot of option. They have a lot of option. I have a lot of opportunity. They can choose somebody else with almost the same record that the guy, maybe a little bit older and, you know, in the way out to the UFC, but they choose me. So I felt like, oh, they might be feeding me to this guy to build his record. Let me fuck up his record. You know, I swear, I told myself, let me damage everything they planning for and build my record.
Hamdi, we look forward to seeing you again. We're happy you were able to make it on today. It was really, really nice to watch you fight. And I'm sure we'll see you again before the end of the year. Perfect. And congratulations. It was a great night for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. And I was happy. I really did enjoy watching him fight. And I'm happy that he was annoyed at the ref, too.
Jimmy, I mean, and he's saying, oh, my cardio wasn't the best. He didn't really look tired.
I mean, I saw it. No, I did. It's funny. I did see he looked a little bit tired. It might have been in the second. But again, it was like, yeah, the guy is a 12-day camp. He didn't look wiped out. But you could see, I think he had put a lot of effort into something. And maybe when they stood him back up is when I noticed it.
It's not, it was really unfair. Not
very unfair, yeah.
I mean, the up and down, he took a couple shots he didn't have to take because of that ref. So the refs really should get their shit together.
I agree.
But Hamdi, he had his shit together. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad we got to speak to him. Just like I'm glad we got to speak to Alexandra Pantora, who was fucking Pantoja, who was fucking, what a nice kid. What a nice kid. I mean, what a dangerous fighter. The fact that he beat Brandon Moreno and Kaya Kara France is pretty exciting.
Yep.
And it's like,
he'll get a shot. I don't know if it's, I mean, I think they give that fourth fight first to Moreno Figueroa. It's a crazy, that's a fourth fight has never happened before. And dude, but he'll get a shot.
And Gerald McCoy, we could have talked to that guy the whole freaking time.
He's just great. Yeah, really, really great. A real, real UFC fan too, which is nice.
We had a long ass show. Do you want to just talk more about some of these fights next time? I mean, we did.
Sure.
I don't want to, you know, not give people their due. So we will talk more about it on the next program. I mean, because there is some guys that I do want to mention that we even on the prelims, Jimmy, like, was it Michael or Michelle? How do you pronounce that? Morales? Is it Michael? Yeah. Michael Morales. I don't know if you've seen his fight, but that was fucking a TKO in round three. Because he's an undefeated young prospect. He looked fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I told you we'd talk about this later on. But
that's okay.
We will. And oh, no, Dracar close. No, he had a great fight too. Yeah. Close, but no pun intended. But, he did win, and I always like watching him fight. Again, we'll get into. Let's keep people on their toes.
We'll get into the Semmelsberger fight too. That was, I mean, what a fuck! I don't know if I've ever seen an eye swollen that badly before. That was I think that was the main event of the prelims. The main fight of the prelims. Ronald against Semmelsberger. I mean, he clearly lost the fight, but I just what respect for that guy to finish that fight.
I think on the main card, the only fight we didn't discuss is the Magomed fight.
Ankalaev against Smith. Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Anthony Smith. You did pick him to win in the second round. Ankalaev, sure. And you were correct, TKO.
Yeah. You were incorrect.
I was very. I took Smith by decision. Although I did take Pantoja by third round submission. He won in the first. You took Perez. We both took Lewis. You were right. You took Brennan Moreno, and I took Kai Kara France.
Okay, so I'm the big winner of the week.
Yes, I did take Amanda, and you took Pena, so no.
So we're a draw?
Kind of, yeah.
All right, Jimmy, listen, we're still almost BFFFs. What else you got, Jimmy? Listen, what do you got going on? You want to plug anything?
Nothing. Just come see me in Rochester the 12th and 13th of August. That's all I got. And Matt Serra is on Cameo.
I'm also at SerraBJJ.com, dude. I, like, live there. I have such a good time. Even though I can't roll, I've been there yelling, instructing, stretching, and doing some dumbbells. Bang! Jimmy, I will see you in a couple of days.
See you soon, buddy. Thank you to our guests. This was a great one. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.